Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
What's up, nerds? This is episode 155 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
And today we are joined by a very special guest. Our buddy Corbin's here. Corbin is the proprietor of Bowtie Barbecue in Savannah, Georgia. In addition to having some great barbecue, they also have an excellent whiskey and craft beer selection. What's up, Corbin?
Hey, team.
All right.
Oh. Also not much.
We got that out of the way. If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a mini episode. On our mini episodes, we drink one beer and get totally nerdy about it. The previous episode and the next episode, if you're binge listening, are our full episodes where we also talk about homebrewing and running in addition to enjoying two great beers. If you like the show, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast information and write a short review. Ratings and reviews help more people find the show. You can also add us on Twitter, talk about us on all your social media channels, Facebook, Instagram. If you do that, be sure to include that Brew Drink Run hashtag or at so we can know that you're talking about us. Keith brought something special today. What'd you bring, Keith?
I brought a bottle of barrel aged Scouts Out Honey Saison from the brewery I work for, the Service Brewing Company.
Bringing your work home.
A little bit. Anyways, it's 7.5%. We barrel aged this for just over 2 months in a French oak barrel. It's a small barrel. We are working on our barrel room on a large scale. But right now we have a couple of small little French oak barrels that we play around with every now and then. So last time we brewed Scouts Out, we decided to put some beer in there and let it ferment up. So this was actually packaged on the 23rd of January of 2017. When we're doing the barrels, it's a 50 liter barrel. So we get about 2 6-stoles of beer to serve. And then there's always a little bit left over, so we do bottle condition up a couple of bottles at the end of the run just to have around. And so I was rooting around in the cooler, and I saw these, and so I thought, well, why not? Let's bring one home, and then I thought I'd bring one over here today.
Yeah, so this is not a beer that people are going to be able to run out and get.
No, it's not. Saison is available. Our honey saison is available on draft only at this point in time. So it's around. Should hopefully be around your local. Your local favorite bar, if you're lucky, around Atlanta and Savannah and various other, you know, Georgia and South Carolina regions. So be on the lookout for it. If you're interested in trying it, ask one of your favorite bars to stock it, to put it on tap, and hopefully they will do that. And but yeah, this is kind of one of those little one-off things. We served it fairly recently in the tap room. I think it was Georgia Beer Day. I think is when we actually served this beer, and it went pretty quick. So,
well, Raymond is not here today. We're missing him in the recording studio. But Corbin, I'm going to ask you to fill in for him and tell everybody what this glass, what the glass of Scouts Out bottle condition, barrel aged looks like.
All right. So, pours a nice hazy orangey, depending on where you are sitting with the light.
You're doing a great Raymond version. Keep it up.
When it was first poured, there's a beautiful white puffy head. So it bottle conditioned pretty well. It
certainly did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it looks great in the glass. It's got a little bit of a haze to it. Not super clear, but also not like it's chunky or particly or anything. Just has a nice general haze to it. The head is pretty bright white, all things considered, especially coming off of that orangish gold body. The aroma on this, Keith, what do you get on the nose? It's got a great aroma.
Yeah, it's actually slightly different than I'd say our regular honey saison. This is actually, I think the barrel treatment is actually complementing the honey that is already in the beer. I don't find that our Saison is super kind of sweet on the nose or even necessarily in the taste. It does attenuate down pretty far. So it does kind of cut out a lot of that sweetness. But in the aroma, and already tried this in the taste, I think that the barrel has kind of brought a little bit of that back. Just a touch of kind of vanilla on the nose and in the taste is sort of bringing out a little bit of sweetness that isn't typically there in the beer, at least for me. Now, I hear people say, you can get on, Beer Advocate or Untapped or any of those kinds of things, and sometimes I'm surprised at what people get out of our product or any other product that I've had, and so everyone's palate's a little bit different. But I always find that our Saison is a little bit on the drier side, and I kind of like the little extra sweetness this is adding.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gone ahead and I've taken a sip on my end, and that attenuation from it is really interesting, because when you hear honey Saison, you hear honey anything, your brain immediately goes to sweetness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And with this, honey is another fermentable. It's another
Correct.
Thing mm-hmm. that the yeast is going to eat up, convert mm-hmm. into alcohol. Now, depending on how much you have and what your grain bill is and everything else, you're going to have different degrees of sweetness that are
residual. Yeah, it depends on where you expect your fermentation to end. Mm-hmm. The different yeasts will end, will pretty much knock out at different places. So if, you're making a big, if you're using honey, let's say in a big double IPA, and, you're going to hit maybe 5-4 is going to be your final gravity or something like that. A lot of those sugars are going to be left behind. If that's going to go down to, close to, 1 degree or what, you're going to eat up most of that. So you're going to have a drier and less sweet taste.
Yeah. And so what we're left here with this beer, it's got just some really interesting notes. It's got an earthiness to it. It's got a little bit of the spicy character to it. It's got even just a little tinge of tartness to it as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the dryness combined with that little bit that we're maybe are getting from that French oak barrel, it's fairly different from the base beer, I feel like.
Yeah,
but it complements
it.
It would be interesting to do a side by side with it.
Yeah, I think it would be. And the barrel isn't, I don't think, 2 months isn't a huge amount of time to spend in a barrel. But it was enough to get a little bit out of this. Now, we've also used this barrel 2 or 3 times, so at some point you start to kind of lose whatever you're really going to get out of the barrel. Now, this isn't like, bourbon barrel aged or anything like that. It's just was,
barrel.
Clean oak, when we first got it. So so I'm not really sure how much you lose over time or if it just starts to expand or those kinds of things. But yeah, I think it's actually complementing the base nicely. It's not a huge kind of oak flavor. It's not, but it's the dryness of the wood is kind of complementing the little bit of tartness from the beer itself. And it's good. It's working out well.
Corbin, what are you getting? Yeah. Tasting wise. I'm just going to talk right over you trying to talk.
I am actually getting a lot of citrus. For me, kind of right after you take the sip. But I've got a couple questions.
I can answer them maybe.
Was this fermented in the barrel?
Or
just rested?
No, it was not fermented in the barrel. So we pulled this off of the fermenter after fermentation and aged it in the barrel. I'm trying to remember if that's correct, and I'm pretty sure it would be just like if you were making like a cask or a pin or a firkin or something mm-hmm. like that. So it was fermented. There was some residual yeast left behind, probably, because it hadn't been totally crashed, brightened, or filtered. But we didn't add any kind of sugars to make the beer ferment. So it's not
Right. And so which allowed it to carbonate.
We didn't carbonate in the barrel. We pulled the beer out, kegged it, and then carbonated it after that. So the beer just sat in there, as basically flat or whatever, small amount of carbonation we've got naturally from the fermentation process. So there was a little bit of carbonation in the barrel, but not a lot.
So I feel like we're touching on lots of different things that maybe we don't spend a lot of time on some of our other shows in terms of technically how this beer was created and some of the different aspects that make this beer interesting. Because this is one of our mini episodes, we're trying to spend a little bit more time on the style that we're presenting on the show, on these mini episodes. Mm-hmm. And so we mentioned that that service bills this beer as a honey. Is it always referred to as a honey saison?
It is. Yes, it is a honey saison. There's a strong amount of honey in the goes into the boil.
And is that from the brewery bees that go into this beer, or is that a combination?
I don't know if there might have been some brewery bee honey in the original small ones. Batch, yeah. But our bees do not make nearly enough honey to come even close to being able to use on a large scale. So this was the honey we would have gotten would have been from Savannah Bee Company honey. We buy big barrel drums of honey at a time when we need it for various beers that we put honey in. So
if you go back to our very first episode of Brew Drink Run, that episode was about saisons. We talked about saisons in that episode. If you have ever listened to that episode, I'm sorry. And if you haven't, and if it's a style you're not familiar with, saisons were traditionally beers that were brewed in the winter to be consumed in the summer. We're talking France, Belgium. We're talking. Well, we've got beer de garde. We're not going to get into all the differences on this show. But not that long ago, saisons were kind of an endangered style. Not a lot of breweries are making them. But thanks to the craft beer revolution, there was some interest in going back and kind of picking out some styles that were similar to things that were becoming popular, like your wheat beers, your lighter bodied or lighter hopped pale ales. And the saison or a farmhouse ale, you can kind of go interchangeably with those. Some breweries choose one rather than the other. It's fairly complex compared to a wheat beer or to a lightly hopped pale ale, because what you're doing is you're getting a more interesting yeast.
Yes.
And that is giving you, it's introducing things to the base beer that a more casual drinker may not be expecting. And that can be fruity esters. It could be peppery spice. It can be like earthiness.
Sure.
It can be a whole range of things that you're getting from the yeast. And there's also a whole range of tartnesses that can go along with saisons as well. So spicing along with it, your bitterness level, it's going to be mild to moderate bitterness. It's not going to be a very bitter beer. Typically.
Very few saisons are high on the hop bitterness. So.
And the sweetness can range as well, but typically not super sweet, but they can go super dry.
Yep.
So that's a saison in a nutshell. Did I miss anything? Appearance, you're going to be kind of cloudy typically because of the yeast.
But
it can be double filtered.
I don't know that you would generally traditionally want to filter a saison. I personally like a little bit of cloudiness in a saison. I kind of think it looks appropriate. Ours tends to brighten up exceptionally well, for as often as, sometimes you're like, whoa, I wish this pale ale would brighten up a little quicker so we can, package it. The saison is always nice and bright. So I'm going to assume a little bit of this cloudiness came from the barrel itself or, throwing in a little, I think we actually put just a touch of honey in here to try and get the bottle conditioning going.
Well, that's the next part I wanted to talk about. So the barrel, I feel like, is pretty self-explanatory. We spent a little bit of time on that part of it. Mm-hmm. So the barrel part of the process in this beer is really just to give it a little touch of the wood, a little, and kind of see what that introduces in kind of tweaking the flavors a little bit from that. And because it wasn't a bourbon barrel
Corbin. I was just going to talk a little bit about the barrel for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have ever gone that deep into how barrel aging works.
I mean, Keith probably has.
It's kind of actually not really. I mean, we haven't started. Other than working with this, particular barrel, we haven't really had any use for, using barrels before. But we're certainly ready to start learning over there. Hopefully, very soon.
Well, I mean, I think so. Likely mentioned, we deal a lot with whiskey at Bowtie, and so the whole barrel aging process. With whiskey, that's where most of the character from whiskey comes from. And so traditionally, these saisons would be aged in oak barrels while they're waiting.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's actually what would be an authentic production, if we're going back to the mid-1800s on these beers. Yeah. That's the authentic method they would be using. Yeah.
And so as they sit in that barrel, and as the temperature fluctuates, the beer is going to get sucked into the wood and then pushed out and then sucked in. So, I think for just 2 months, it's already done a fair amount.
Yeah.
And it being, the cooler months down here in Savannah.
Yeah, and I don't if it's is it a temperature controlled room or is it just in the
we just left it in the cellar in the you know not we didn't put it into I mean so there could have easily been you know a bug or two getting in and out of this depending on how much it was breathing and coming in and out but you know for a little kind of R&D batch you know kind of thing or it was like we're not going to worry too much about that on a larger scale you know you want to definitely kind of climate controlled you know or even not so much climate control but just you want to try and keep as many bugs out of the room as you can to prevent you know unwanted you know infection and souring that kind of thing
and kind of clean French oak barrels for a lot of homebrewers may be your first step into barrel aging because you can get small barrels from a lot of the brewing supply stores that are that are new barrels technically, you kind of usually have to have some sort of connection or you have some buying power, but not always to get used barrels or barrels from distilleries or staves. Yeah, staves and spirals. Yeah. So if you are going to go the whole hog and get an actual barrel, that's usually what you see offered in like your homebrewing supply catalogs or like a French oak. And so that does make a lot of sense. So anything else about the barrel? That was a good point about the expanding and contracting, it actually going into the wood. It's not just that it's sitting on it. It actually gets
interacting with the barrel.
It's living.
I think it's important also that French oak was used. If you had used American oak, you would have been getting different flavors from the wood.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's cool as well. I think it'd be fun to do a side-by-side comparison, get a French oak barrel, get an American oak barrel, and even then, you know, you've got different areas. You've got, you know, Missouri is turning out a ton of oak barrels, but so is Vermont. Mm. And just those two different areas, because of the terroir.
There you go.
You're going to be getting
the terroir.
And there it is.
That's it. I wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, you can't ignore the terroir once it's in the room.
You really can't. Once it's been unleashed, you can't put it up.
I mean, you just got to talk about it.
And then finally, the bottle conditioning. And bottle conditioning is something that should be familiar to a lot of homebrewers.
Right, yeah. If you're a homebrew, you're pretty familiar with that. You've probably seen it on some of the bottles of beer that you buy. Sweetwater, for people in our region, is one I believe they bottle condition all of their beer. Maybe not all of it, but I know they promote it a lot of the time, you know, that it's bottle conditioned.
Well, I often, with the bottle conditioning, I tend to see that with a lot of like with Belgian beers or with a lot of corked and caged things. Mm-hmm. I mean, like especially early in my beer journey, that's where I would see it like proudly stamped across the front, you know, with things with saisons, with the different farmhouse ales and things that were going to be especially bright and bubbly and probably have a pretty massive yeast cake down in the bottle. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Sweetwater can conditions as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's what they tout on their can.
Well, that's interesting. I always think about, I mean, you know, having had a small amount of, you know, experience at service and just, you know, being around homebrewers. I mean, it's always, I feel like that for a lot of homebrewers, that's kind of the hit and miss moment for a lot of their beers is this bottle going to be carbed? Is this one going to be overcarbed? Is this one going to explode? Is this one going to be flat? Those kinds of things. So to be able to really dial that in on a large scale and carbonate your beer in the bottle, you know, I think Sierra Nevada has been doing it for years as well. I mean, that's pretty amazing to be able to have the confidence to know that all of those bottles are going to come out or cans in Sweetwater's case are going to come out, you know, the way they're supposed to. So kudos to them.
That's also one of the points where you kind of wonder, there are certain elements with certain kinds of homebrew that you feel like they start to taste the same. You know what I mean? Like, you know, two people in two parts of the country can brew a pale ale, but there's something really similar about the homebrew. And sometimes I wonder, okay, well, are they extract brewing or both? But then I wonder, well, is it the table? Are they using table sugar? Are they using quart sugar? Are they using tablets? Yeah. What's their bottle conditioning process? Because it does alter the taste.
Yeah, depending on what you put in there,
Whatever
kind of sugars that, you know, that yeast is going to eat, it's whatever is left behind is certainly going to affect the taste.
The yeast for the Scout Stout, at one point y'all had propagated a yeast.
Oh, that's not. Yeah, that's different. This is, I believe it's a, believe it's a blend of a French and Belgian saison yeast of different kinds. Nice. So it's something we buy from a company that sells. I don't remember which company we buy from, but you know, there's several that are out there that sell, you know, yeasts of all kinds. And so yeah, that you're thinking, I think, of the Old Guard Beer de Garde, which is our spring seasonal. Yep. Should be out shortly.
I was just throwing a little.
Yep. Yep, and that that one is
knock it out of the park.
that one is a yeast strain that was developed for us. So
that's cool,
and that's from the brewery bees.
That is from
the strain was cultivated.
Yeah,
from
it was cultivated hive. From the beehives. So that's what that is. So
we're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
You insist. I guess we will. He seemed really adamant about that. Whoever that guy is who does this theme song.
He seemed
really, really adamant.
Like, all right, buddy, let's do this. Fine. Get off my back.
Jeez, I guess so.
It's the reason I got addicted to the podcast.
So Keith's spreadsheet is Keith's epic record of the beers that he has consumed. There are a lot of beers in Keith's spreadsheet, 3,000, and I looked earlier, and I'm going to say 3,866.
Something like that.
I don't know.
It's close.
I've lost my notes for that. All right. But so in this part of the show, I read a review from Keith's spreadsheet. Our special guest, Corbin, gets to try and guess what beer it is based on the description. Corbin, are you ready?
Yes, Lee.
Okay. This beer is 6% ABV. Do you need more information?
Would you like to put a guess in?
Would you like to phone a friend?
Could you give me a definition, please?
Okay. I'm gonna actually read. I've omitted the beverage's name was in the review. I've omitted that.
Smart.
I read it through this
That's
time.
Very
I didn't
smart.
Just read yes. it and then just name the beer like I've been known to do in the past. It is 6% ABV. This cork was ready to come out. It really did need the cage. I'm glad I noticed it coming up out of the bottle before it shot a hole into the ceiling. Needless to say, this poured with a big active white head on top of slightly orange golden base beer, just a hint of cloudy haze. On the nose is some classic barnyard funk and hay alongside some lovely light lemon and pepper. The first thing that hits my palate is the carbonation. This is a bright and bubbly beer that plays on the tongue well. The taste is pleasant, but not as intense as the aroma. Extremely well balanced overall. I'm enjoying a near perfect combination of mildly funky yeast, peppery spice, tartish lemon peel and rind, and just a hint of grain. This is incredibly drinkable with a fantastic dry finish. They couldn't have picked a better name for this one. 4 out of 5, A. All right, there's some hints in there.
Yeah.
Do you know it, Keith?
I don't. I remember writing this review, but it sounds like so many saisons. You know what I mean? It's kind of very...
Well, longtime listeners will know this is a longer review for your spreadsheet.
It's fairly recent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fairly new one. We had some other keys in here. It's corked and caged.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to eliminate a lot of stuff. We know that it has a very good name.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are some hints as to the style mm-hmm. per this episode's topic. Mm-hmm. Do you have any initial ideas, Corbin? Where's the mind taking you on this journey of what beer this could be?
Goodness. I'm trying to like read it in the reflection of your glasses.
That's not working. Yeah, it's not working.
It's very tiny.
The thing about the appropriate name. That's where I'm
appropriate name. Do you want some hints?
Could you use it in a sentence?
I will go geography first.
Okay, that's
it is
helpful.
From the southeastern United States.
Okay. Ooh, southeastern. It's a saison.
And it's corked and caged.
It is. Georgia distribution in the last 2 years.
Okay.
I'm guessing there. I was in Costa Rica for a year. About mm-hmm. last 2 years, maybe a little bit longer. I think is exclusively Corked and Caged that we've had their products from here. I think that may be completely not true. But
okay, I know what it is.
Okay.
Am I supposed to say it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the Blackberry Farm Classic Saison?
It is.
There you go. All right.
Blackberry Farm's Classic Saison. They have a number of farmhouse ales. They do seasonal saisons as well.
I think they almost exclusively do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did like a cream ale, but it was made with, you know, like a saison yeast, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, they're really into that style of brewing. So,
and a really interesting brewery in that I feel like every beer of theirs that I've had, I felt was exceptionally high quality. I think we've talked about this. You really liked it as well. Corbin, do you have a lot of experience with their product?
We have it on tap, actually.
I thought you did. I was trying to work that in. Bowtie Barbecue Company. Maybe it'll still be on by the time you get there this week.
I just ordered a keg.
Oh, it'll be around.
There you go.
Also ordered a keg of Lincoln's Gift.
Excellent. Very good.
Extra service.
Which I wanted to talk about something else, but I forgot what you were talking about, so...
Great.
Yeah.
So, one last note about service on this episode. People that are in... folks that are in services distribution area, which is South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia,
yep.
Mm-hmm. You may be seeing new service cans hitting your shelves.
Yep.
You guys are now wrapping your cans in-house. It gives you some more flexibility on
Absolutely.
The kinds of beer
uh-huh.
that you can yep. put out and can and make available quickly and easily mm-hmm. to people. And the Lincoln's Gift is decidedly different this year in terms
yes.
of how it looks.
Yeah, I'm real happy with the Lincoln's Gift. I think it's really sharp looking can. It's going to stand out, and the beer ain't half bad either. So it's finally out. It took Hurricane Matthew and lots of effort to get oysters this year. So it's a little late in coming, but it's out there now in distribution. So be on the lookout for that. And all of our seasonal beers are going to be in cans this year. So that's going to be exciting for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a big change and mm-hmm. and very cool. Go to servicebrewing.com. You can see pictures of the cans. Be sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as well. There mm-hmm. are lots of great photos of the new can art, so you can make sure to recognize it there. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. For more about Bowtie Barbecue, go to
BowtieBarbecue.com.
So right. easy.
Yeah.
You can follow us all on Twitter or Facebook. Just look us up. Plus, we're all on Untappd. Actually, Corbin, are you on Untappd?
As a person.
As a person.
Yeah. Okay.
do you want to tell people what your Untappd handle is, or is that super secret?
I believe it's Corbin Park.
Corbin Park.
Corbin Park.
Or C. Parker.
Start trolling this guy immediately.
Yeah, just get all over him. Criticize
this just, I want to see a flood of friends and then all this trolling.
If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Do that and let us know about your homebrewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available on our website. Click the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you around. Cheers.
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 Oh, well, that's good enough. Yeah. Close enough.